Welcome to the Journey 8. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and spend a few moments with us as we share some music and dialogue with you. Hello out there in radio land. I've always wanted to say that. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and this is The Journey 8. And we have an interesting show for you tonight, a little bit different. We're going to take a step and talk about who we are, because I get letters all the time with, who's Journey 8? What is it? Who's that person behind the microphone? So we're going to do a little bit of that tonight. We're going to start with Ryan, my humble but very abled co-host. I may have to sneak out because here in Greensboro, we have some tremendous thunderstorms. But if that's the case, Ryan is more than capable to carry on the craziness that we designed last week. So, Ryan, are you there?
I am here.
Ryan, what was that song we just played?
That song was My Heart Yearns for You, written and performed by Fran McKendry. And I picked that song because it's kind of like a prayer to me. Mm-hmm. And so it's a nice way to start off the show, but it also represents me and the God that I believe in, who finds us where we're at and loves us where we're at. And so that's why I picked that, because it's a good representation of me.
Yeah, I like the song a lot. Here comes the thunders. Can you hear that?
I did not hear that.
Oh man, it shook the house. Okay. So, my able-bodied co-host, the red light hasn't come on to the warning system yet, and the backup generator hasn't kicked in, so we're good for another couple minutes. I like the song a lot. I think it was a good choice. More and more, Ryan is getting used to, picking out music, and I'm not one that is a micromanager. I just say, Ryan, pick out the music for next week. Oh, okay.
Well, it's easy for me to pick out the music. I've spent 2 years designing worship services, so when I pick out the music, there has to be a rhyme and reason for it. It's not just because I like it. Right. In this case, this week, I picked out music that represents me and my spiritual journey. And that's another way for you to understand me a little bit better, is by the musical choices I've made.
Yes. Unlike me, who picks out Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
I almost picked Dancing Queen by ABBA. Only
yes.
Because that's been a song we've been doing a lot recently. The annual Methodist conference happened in Denver this week, and our bishop, who's an openly lesbian bishop and the only one in the Methodist denomination anywhere, decided that was going to be the song they were going to play as they exited. So as all these bishops were exiting in very formal and stately fashion, she was dancing to Dancing Queen at the end.
That's good. That's good. Sometimes I think, and I'm not trying to cut into your time, but we have an hour, that we Christians take ourselves way too seriously. And I would love it if more bishops and priests and pastors and what have you, whatever, denomination, whatever you call yourself, would dance down the aisle to Girls Just Want to Have Fun, or, whatever. Because I think it'd be refreshing for the congregation. Right. Unless you're in a hoity-toity, stuffy, you know, where the average age is 80.
But, you know, even then, people still need to have fun. And church should be a place where you can do that. I mean, I've actually suggested that we have a course at ILF on how to have fun at church. Because it's something we need to learn how to do, because nobody does it.
That's right.
It's just sad to me. Even as Christians, we think, well, we can have fun, but we should do it outside of church. We can do it in Sunday school, or we can do it somewhere else. But church is about finding God, and God's very solemn. And God never said that to me. In fact, one experience I had of God was God laughing at me and being playful. So I have a very different understanding of God based on my experience and my encounter with God, which has nothing to do with what people taught me to believe. So for me, we should absolutely have fun.
And the other thing is that in the new age, in the 21st century, worship is a lot different than it was in the 50s. Oh, that was close. sorry if I tweak a little bit on you guys. It's a really bad storm. It's probably one of the worst ones this year. Being all twisted, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, please forgive me, audience. How many minutes into? 9 minutes into the show before we fell apart.
Well, you speak for yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I'm doing just fine.
Yes, he is. However, he hasn't been beaten and drudged through the catacombs of Christianity for 25 years. Let's see what he's like 25 years from now. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, this is the way it is. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. No, it's not true. I think we're a very good couple, and we don't have to worry about having babies.
Amen to that.
All right, I'm shutting up so that you can do your part of the show.
So I wanted to talk about myself today because we get a lot of email about who we are as a people and as a group. So I wanted to share with you kind of my past, kind of a little bit about my faith journey, what I'm doing presently in school and other outside ministries that I'm doing, what I want to do in the future, and then tie that into Journey 8 and how we're working together. So I'm going to start with my faith story. And I talked about this the first time I was on the program back in, was it December or early January? But you can go back and look at the archives and find the first episode that I did when I was a guest host. And I talked about my experience of seeing God. So I started off not being Christian. I wasn't born into the church. My mother was raised Southern Baptist and was kicked out of the church for getting a divorce when I was very young. So I grew up being very anti-church and anti-Christian. And by the time puberty hit it and I realized that I was gay, there was that whole thing, because back then at the time, and still pretty much, being gay and being Christian was not compatible, and I was often told that I was going to burn in hell, and all of the negativity that I got for being gay came from churches. Even though I wasn't in a church, everything was rooted in Christianity. So I grew up being really anti-religious and being anti-God for a long time. And my parents joined a church when I was, it was maybe 8 years ago, and I was in my mid-30s, and I decided to attend with them for Christmas. And the minister said that that was an open table. Everybody was welcome to share communion. But I didn't believe him. So the next year, I decided I was going to go forward, only because I didn't want to be afraid of it. And I had the sinking suspicion that if I accepted communion and went forward, I would be burned at the stake, or lightning would strike, or some terrible, ridiculous thing. But I really did think that would happen. As intelligent as I am, I really thought that God would smite me in some way. And instead, what happened was, when I looked into the minister's eyes as he handed me the elements the wafer for communion. When I looked into his eyes, I saw another pair of eyes behind his, and it was the eyes of God. And I was startled, and I was shocked. And God laughed at me, and he said to me, "Why are you so surprised to find me when you're the one that came looking for me?" And I knew in that moment that God had been waiting for me that whole time, for 35 years, for me to look. And all I had to do was to see God. There he was. And he wasn't what I expected. He wasn't judgmental. He wasn't angry. He wasn't bitter. He was happy to see me. And I knew that I was loved, and that he had always loved me, even when I didn't love him. And so I have a very different understanding of what being a Christian is, because it's rooted in that experience, not in the Bible, not in what Christian church leaders have told me. So my Christianity is very different. Before I became a Christian, I was also, I considered myself a Wiccan, and I identified as a witch. I studied Buddhism and other Eastern religions, Sikhism. There's a whole different philosophy that comes with yoga, and I was an avid yoga practitioner for several years. So as a Christian, I have incorporated all those different things with me. So a lot of people get really confused when I tell them, as a Christian, I believe in reincarnation. And that's completely logical, and it fits in my system, because I don't believe in heaven and hell the way we talk about it. And so it fits for me. But a lot of people think that that means I can't really be Christian, because I don't fit neatly into the box that has been prescribed for me. So I kind of consider myself kind of Christian plus, because I am Christian, I believe in God, I care about Jesus, even though I don't necessarily think Jesus was also divine. I see Jesus as being a man and a prophet, and his connection to God is what made him special, not all of his superpowers. So I'm not in the majority in my viewpoints as far as Christianity is concerned, but that's where I come from, and that's why I believe the way I do. It's based on my experiences. So I would invite anyone to call in. Our number is 888-627-6008. Feel free to call in and ask me some questions or to comment. We would really like to hear from you. Do you have any questions, Judy?
Yeah. I didn't realize you were a witch when I asked you to come on board. Now. Yeah, I do. I have one. Oh, brother. I wish I'd stop doing that. That is kind of a probably late question, but when we speak of the Journey 8, which you're going to go into more detail in a minute about that, and you speak about I myself, what's the major thing that that you hope to give the people out there, you know, all 14 people listening, what's the major thing you want to share with them? Or what's the major what's the major thing that you feel you can do to help them?
What I want people to know is that you are loved by God or the divine or however you see it. That you are loved, and it doesn't matter if Christians love you or not. God and the divine does. And I hope that you can be transformed by that in the way that I was, because I went instantly from being the enemy of the divine and the enemy of Christians to being a friend. And in short order, I got my degree in religious studies, and then I came to seminary so that I could share that with other people. God does love you. And there are so many people that have been hurt by the church and marginalized by it who don't believe that. And it's true. It is absolutely true. And having that knowledge will change you, and it will make you a better person, because it will free you from fear.
Interesting. So let's continue with you've given us a little summary of who you are and where you come from, and let's move into your partnership with the Journey 8.
Okay. So right now, or in the last couple years since I've been at ILF, I've been heavily involved with our worship, and we do a chapel service once a week, every Wednesday, and the purpose of it is to try to represent as many of our faith traditions as we have represented at ILF, and all the different theologies and all the different backgrounds. So I've done services that are Wiccan, I've done Buddhist, I've done services that are blended. All the Protestant groups have been represented. We've done Episcopalian. We'll have the Episcopalian bishop come in and all his regalia and all his finery and do a really high church thing with communion, or we'll do things outside. I've done musical services that were only Taze music after President Bush was elected, and we were all in mourning for a long period. The election's always on Tuesday, so the very next day we had chapel, and we had planned to do a Taze service. And it was probably the most beautiful thing that I had ever seen, where we were all together singing, praising God, even though all these terrible things had happened, and then singing about what we were going to do and how we were going to do it as a community of faith. And it was really powerful bringing everybody together. So that kind of work, that kind of interfaith ecumenical work, is really important to me. And a lot of the work that I've done since I've been at ILF has been around community organizing and building groups of people together so that they can be mutually supportive. And that's really the ministry that I see myself doing in the future. And that's why the Journey 8 is so important to me, because it's a way of building community for people that are separated by distance, by time, by space. And we can all come together and be a community and search for God and hopefully find God in our searching together. And to me, that is really powerful. So it's really this medium can reach so many more people. I've preached a number of times, and I think the largest audience I've ever had is 40 people. And doing this program, I can reach so many more people. And that's important. But more important is the dynamic that is set up here, where we're having a conversation and we're asking questions. And we hope that you, our listeners, our Journey 8 community, can be part of that, because that's how we build community, and that's how we should be interacting. We should be asking each other questions, and we should be responding to it, as opposed to listening to a sermon done by a pastor where he's giving you all the information and then you passively receive it. This kind of conversational dialogue is much better to me. You can learn more, you can grow more as a person, and we can recognize the value of each other instead of just the leader. And that's really important to me.
Yeah, and what's the number they would call if they want to talk to us?
888-627-6008.
Yes, you did a sticky note, didn't you?
I did. I learned stuff.
So, yeah. One of the things in the 3 years that we've been on the air is that everyone tells me, and it tells us, to be patient, that people will call in once they get over their fear, whatever the reason. Well, it's been 3 years, and I believe there's people out there that are listening to us. I don't think we're talking in a vacuum. And, you know, with Ryan and I, the reason why I asked him to come on board is because we are dynamically different, but dynamically the same in many ways. When it comes to our faith walk and our faith in general, do we believe in the same God? Absolutely, cut your cookies right down the middle on that one. But you know, when it comes time for people to listen, I'm hoping that the dynamics that he and I have reaches you. In other words, if you're polarized towards Ryan, that's perfectly fine. Don't think you have to call in and talk to me, because I might not even be on the air that day. And, you know, we just want to talk to you. We just want to know that there's somebody out there listening to us and, you know, wants to know more about what you do. I'm talking on you, and I apologize. Go ahead.
No, and more than that, we do want to listen to you as well. It's not just about us wanting to talk to you. We want to listen to you because we recognize that you have your own wisdom. And as intelligent people, we recognize we don't know everything. And so coming together, I feel
like... Speak for yourself on that, Mr.
we can learn from each other so much more than we can in a vacuum. And that's why it's important for people to call in, or you can send us emails, because we really want to know where people are at and what they need. Otherwise, it's just us talking to ourselves, and we're just talking about things that are important to us, which is important. But Judy and I can do that on our own anytime. So it's really important that when we're talking about community, that you recognize that you're a part of that community. If you've only listened to us once, even if you've only listened for 5 minutes, you are part of our community, and we care about you, and we pray for you, and we value the wisdom.
You know, the purpose of the Journey 8 was not to shove any Bible down your throat, to convert you to any particular religion, because the program itself is non-denominational. We don't, on the program, lean towards being Catholic or whatever. Our personal church choices are our personal church choices. But the program, and I fought against poverty to keep it to where we don't have any ties to any particular church, because we don't want to be, I won't say manipulated, but we don't want to be influenced by that denomination's programs. And the freedom that that Ryan and I have comes through, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, it's because we want to reach out to you on your terms, not what the bishop, you know, when you were a kid, or what the pastor of your mother's church. We want to talk to you. And we want to hear why you're so angry, or why you don't believe in Christianity. We want to hear that. Are we going to change your mind? I don't know. But we're not going to.
But we recognize that we've probably shared that same experience with you at some point.
Yes.
So we understand where you're coming from. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. So, you know, let's play a song.
All right. Let's play Little Bird. This is a song by Mindy Dillard and Eric McEwen, who's a friend of mine based here out of Colorado. And it's another quirky song similar to the one we've been playing for the last couple weeks. And so I'm sure you'll enjoy it. This song is Little Bird.
Oh, little bird, are you hurt? You've fallen down and you're lying in the dirt. little bird among the weeds. You're born to fly. You're born to get back to the...
Wow, that is so cute. I love that song.
I knew that you would. It's why I picked it. I picked it because I recognize that there are a lot of people that listen to the show who have been hurt by the church and damaged by it. And the song itself isn't overtly Christian or religious in any way, but it is really spiritual. And because I know the writers of the song, I know that that was what they were thinking of when they wrote it, that it's about people that have been damaged by the church, but you can still fly and you can still heal yourself. And in healing yourself, you can heal others. And that's a big part of who I am spiritually. And it's a big part of the ministry that I want to do. And I imagine it's a large group of people who are listening at this moment, people that have been damaged or marginalized by the church. So for me, that song's kind of an anthem.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to play it again and keep it in our files, because that's a great song. So is the first one. So you pick better songs than I do. What can I say?
But that's because I got trained and I went to seminary to do it.
And I went to seminary to... Oh, we were writing notes. On the...
I don't know.
Sticking them doing on the back of the professor. No. We used to call it cemetery instead of seminary.
Because y'all
However,
didn't
have fun. Well, we didn't have fun. I think the seminary has changed a lot over the years. I mean, it was over 20 years when I went there. You know, you learn, your mindset's in a different way. Your mindset going through seminary was to teach, to, to have specialty programs. Mine was to finish and take what I learned and think about it later. I pocketed that information for a long time because I didn't know what I wanted to do. They don't teach you in most of the traditional seminaries. So very interesting. And of course I created my own thing with the Journey 8, but I like it, little bird. Okay. So where are we at, Mr. Ryan?
So I think we're kind of at the part where we're talking about our goals for the Journey 8 kind of. So I'll talk a little bit about my future ministry, what my plan is, what I came to ILF to do. And I came to ILF really to build a church outside of the church. As I've mentioned earlier, I've only really been a Christian for 8 years. And so I'm not as super invested as people who have been raised in it are. So I'm happy to see it change and to grow. A lot of times in a lot of different Christian circles, we spent a lot of energy on growing the church because all denominations are declining in membership and everybody's struggling. And so there's this undercurrent that's going on with the church about it needing to change or it'll die. And that's really stark language that we've been using for many years. And for me, as a marginalized person in the church, I recognize that the church needs to be different. So I'm very much an emergent church person, if you've heard that kind of language. So I'm very kind of post-Christian. So it's kind of talking about what church would look like once the church dies, and then we create something else in its place. So for me, I'm very much rooted in building community, which is one reason why Journey 8 is important. And another is about building conversation. So for me, the model that I found that I really liked, that I wanted to do after I graduated and was ordained, was to create a dinner church, which is very much about, or very similar to how early Christians worshiped, where they would meet in someone's house and they would share a meal together, and there was generally some prayer and some singing and things. And if you go look at the catacombs in Rome, a lot of the people leading that were women, and that really doesn't have anything to do with anything other than I find it really interesting, and in that the people that are marginalized today were in positions of authority back then. And the structure of the church was very different because it was rooted in relationships with each other. It wasn't rooted in this church hierarchy and all this stuff, because that didn't exist yet. That came later with empire. So what was important was that the person that was the leader, that was in charge of the prayers or whatever, was seen as the more spiritual person, that they were rooted more in their faith, they were connected to God in some way, or they had some sort of spiritual authority that was recognized by everyone else in the community, and therefore they were elevated and given the position to do communion and to do other things. And that's
I have to interrupt you. The red light has come on my little warning system, and the thunder is getting closer, and the lightning is really bad. So I'm going to leave, but y'all stay where you're at, because Ryan is in very sunny weather in Denver. I'm the one
Denver.
I'm the one who's being plagued by thunder and lightning here in Greensboro. So I'm going to sign off and get this equipment turned down. And Ryan, you finish it up.
All right. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
All right. So now would be a good time for you to call 888-627-6008. And we can have a conversation about the Journey 8 or any of the things that I've brought up so far. We would really like to hear from you. And until we do, I'm going to keep talking about the Journey 8 and kind of the future of the church as I see it. So I'm very much rooted in building community and in building conversation. And there are a whole bunch of different models to do that. There are the dinner churches that I was talking about, where people come and break bread together, and that's their worship. Coming, being in community, having a little prayer, talking to each other, and learning more about each other so that they can all share their faith journeys with each other. I think it's really important for us as people of faith, whatever that faith is, to recognize that we all have a story, that we've all learned a great deal from our lives and from our trials and our tribulations, as well as our joys, and that those things are really valuable to help other people. So one of the things that I think is really important is sharing conversation and being willing and able to share our own faith journeys. Other faith traditions will call that sharing your testimony. I don't like that terminology because it feels like you're sharing a very specific bit of information for a specific outcome, and that's not really the purpose of sharing your story. But I think that God moves in all of us and through all of our lives, and so for us to be able to share our stories actually gives meaning and value to some of our struggles, and I think that that's really, really important. I would say that breaking bread together is really important to me as well, because it's a way of breaking down barriers and getting people to open up and to be honest and to be more vulnerable. It's much harder to do that in a church or to do it in Sunday school. And that's one of the reasons why I think that the structure of the church is not really productive in creating and deepening our faith. We go to church, we listen to organ music and somebody sing at us, and we listen to a preacher preach at us, and then we walk away and we've forgotten what they were talking about because it wasn't really pertinent to our lives and we weren't engaged in it. We were just supposed to be empty vessels receiving all the music and receiving all the knowledge. And I think that that's not how people really learn. And so people don't change when they go to churches like that. And really the purpose of church is to find the divine and to find ourselves in that divinity so that we can be transformed by it and change. And if we're not being changed by our spiritual practices, be it church or prayer or anything else, then it's something we need to consider because it's not really working. So that's why I feel that church today is on the decline and why it's not really going to recover, because a lot of Christian leaders feel that to change the church, they just have to find the right fad or the right trend. So we try praise music and rock and roll and stuff like that. And we're finding that even in churches like that, people may be more entertained and they may come to those churches more, but they're not really growing as people. And so for me, we're shifting our focus away from God in those instances and really more about being more about entertainment. And I don't think that that's really productive, really. If we recognize that our goal when going to worship is to be changed and to find God, praise music and all those kind of fads, like having big screens with letters on it instead of doing hymnals and all of that, is really not productive. We can throw all kinds of technology at things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that young people are going to come to church. What people are looking for is the divine, and there are many ways to find that. But until we get really serious in churches as to that's the real purpose of church, we're always going to fail. And so I really feel like building faith communities outside of the church is important, because we can really flatten the leadership structure so it isn't the minister with all the knowledge and all the power and all the authority, because they've went to seminary and they were ordained in some mystical kind of way which gives them special powers to do the sacraments. I really believe strongly that all Christians should be able to do the sacraments, that because I was ordained shouldn't give me special privilege as far as doing weddings and funerals and blessing wine and making holy water and doing communion. I don't think that I'm any more special than anyone else. And I don't think that having a master's degree and going through the discernment process with my denomination makes me a better person than the people that don't have that degree. So I really don't think that the way we structure church, with this ordained person being ahead of everybody else, I don't think that that's productive, because it makes people passive, and we shouldn't be. When I share my faith story with someone, I hope they're moved by it, and I hope it heals them in some way, but I don't want that to elevate me, making me special. I don't think that because I've seen the eyes of God, that makes me better than anyone. It means I have a particular perspective. And I know that there are a lot of other people who have had similar mystical experiences and encounters with the divine, and many of them are not ordained. And I know a lot of people that work as priests and as ministers and pastors who are ordained, but have never had that experience. And I don't think that that experience should privilege anyone else over anything. So I really believe strongly that my purpose as a Christian leader is to help other people be empowered to find their own strengths, their own skills, their own talent, and their own calling, so that they can serve God the way that God is asking them to be present in the community. Because we all have something to offer. We all have a particular thing that we want others to share based on our life experience, and often based on the things that we've struggled with. So for me, being a gay man has really informed the kind of leadership and the kind of work I want to do in and outside of the church. And so I think it's important to recognize the value of our life, that that is a gift from God and from the divine just as well as anything else. And we should use that. Use it for our own benefit and for the healing of other people. So if anybody has any questions, would like to call in, our number is 888-627-6008. We would love to hear from you. The Journey 8 is a special thing. And I've been talking for the last couple of minutes about the things that I want to do in my own ministry. And in the last couple of months since I've been doing this program with Judy, I've come to really see the value of this medium and the program that we're sharing together and what we're building together as a community. There's a way that you can reach so many more people. And I really thought for a long time that technology was the enemy as far as community and church was concerned, that technology and social media took away from church. But it's really another way to engage people and another way to do church. You don't have to commit time to work in all these committees. You don't have to support a church building. You don't have to support various ministers and all of the work that's associated with a church. I remember when I joined the church 8 years ago, I immediately became really active in it. And I joined the choir and I became a leader in the church and was on several committees. So I was in meetings all the time. And it became really clear really quickly that for me to do the work of the church and thus be a full member of the community, I had to give up a lot of time that I was using for my own spiritual practices. So I actually gave up a lot of things that helped me be a better spiritual person so that I could be a member of a religious community. And I really don't think that people should have to make that kind of sacrifice to be part of something, to be part of a spiritual community where you can grow as a person. I would much rather you plug into something like this, where you can listen to people, you can learn a whole bunch, you can then call in and share your own wisdom. And I hope that eventually we get to a point where we can do that with each other. Because that's where it is at. God loves everyone. And as Christians, and really as humans, we're called to love each other. And you can only do that in community. So in some respects, this kind of dynamic can be dangerous because you can learn a lot without really engaging in the community. And that was always a fear of mine, that in a medium like this, people would take what they wanted but give nothing in return. And I think it's important when you fully accept that you're part of a community, that you recognize your responsibility to contribute to its welfare. And that was something I did at church early on, as I was talking about. And that was costly because it took away from myself. And I'm not saying one way is better or the other, but finding a balance so that you can do what you need to do for yourself while contributing to your community is a really valuable thing to find. And it'll take some work. But finding that balance is really important because we can't learn and we can't grow on our own. We learn and grow, especially when we're learning to love, by interacting with each other. So being a Christian to me is not an academic exercise, and it's not something that's abstract. We can only truly be Christian or be a person of spirituality or faith if we're in community. So I would encourage you, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, to really think about the communities that you're a part of, either your family, your work community, your neighborhood. We're all parts of many, many different communities. And I would invite you to think about the ones that you're a part of and think about what value they have for you and how they can be better if you contributed to it more fully. I think we're running out of time, so I think we're going to move to our last song to close it out for the evening. This song is called Joy, And it is also written by Mindy Dillard and Eric McEwen, and it can be found on their album Heart Roots. This song is called Joy.
When all the thinkers say it makes no sense, joy will dance, joy will dance. When the fighters say put up your best defense, joy will dance, joy will dance. When the counters say I can't risk the expense.
Thank you so much for spending time with us this evening. Please come back again, and remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Reverend Judy Hosner.